This is Yvette Stalens recording Fiona Birchall at Halsey Manor on the 10th of March 2015. Fiona, tell me where you were born and when.
I was born in Aldershot in Hampshire in March 1947.
And what did your parents do?
My father, well, having just finished the war, he was in the army. He was in the Queen's Own Scottish... He was in the Scottish regiment, but he left my mother just before I was born, and I only saw him once on my very first birthday, and I can't say I remember him. My mother was from a fairly middle-class background. She went to work in the local grocer's when she left school at 14. She was something of an invalid because she had TB and had several spells in hospital. So not professional people at all.
Right.
And music and dance was not a part of my upbringing.
No. So when did it come into your life?
I joined the church choir when I left school at 16 and discovered, yes, I could sing. Not brilliantly. Enough for a solos on a Sunday. I didn't start dancing until I was, I think, about 40. I was looking for a new hobby, something active, and a friend said, what about the local barn dance club, which met nearby? I knew my husband wouldn't come with me. We were champion non-dancers, but I thought I'd give it a go. Started in the October, thought that he might possibly come to the Christmas party, and he enjoyed it so much that he became a member immediately after, and the following year he was chairman of the club.
Which club was that?
This is Fleet. It was Fleet Barn Dance Club. And we changed the name to Fleet Folk Dance Club later on.
So what sort of dances were you doing then, Fiona?
English country, always. Few American. Occasionally Scottish. But generally I would do Scottish dancing when we started going to festivals, which I loved. But never did it regularly because I felt we had enough on our plates, especially as we had a young family. So and it's mostly been the English, which I love.
And did you dance to music or recording?
We had musicians who came to the club, not always the same ones. It was a sort of ad hoc band of whoever turned up. And over the past many years, I suppose, we've had a mixture of live music, maybe one, maybe two musicians, and CDs. Of course, it goes back to... records were before my time. We did have some 78s belonging to the club. Cassettes, certainly when I started dancing, and gone on to CDs. We tried mini discs as well.
Mm.
So it's mostly recordings.
And when did Halsey come into your life?
I think that was about 1991. We came down the first time in October with a local folk club, a folk dance club, and just came from Friday night to Sunday afternoon. Enjoyed it enormously. The people organising it were about to give up. Mary Ireson said she would take on the organising. And we've been coming with Mary ever since. It's still Mary's house party.
So you were there at the beginning, Fiona?
I was at the beginning of Mary organising it, but she had been coming down for many years before that.
Yeah, and do you remember that first visit? What do you remember?
I remember it was cold outside. We hadn't been down this way before. We know the West Country, but not this area. I remember the heavy frost out there. The warm welcome to come in the hall for the very first time and see a blazing log fire and welcoming staff. It has never, ever been any different. We, as soon as we turn at the top of the lane, drive along in front of the wall and turn in at the gates, and I say, ah, we've come home. I always say this is our home from home. We don't live in as quite a grand a place as this, but it's such a lovely, homely atmosphere.
And how has it changed since that first visit?
I don't think it has. The staff have changed. It's always lovely to see familiar faces, but inevitably over the years, people have moved on or just retired, and the atmosphere stays the same. There's never been anybody where we've said, oh, I'm sorry, they're on this weekend. They've all been absolutely lovely.
Excellent. So, yeah.
It's just a wonderful place.
So you mentioned dancing, but we've also had a conversation about your storytelling. Tell me more.
I first came across storytelling in the traditional field up at Cecil Sharp House, English Folk Dance and Song Society. We went up for a Christmas dance, and we danced in the afternoon and also in the evening, but there were ceilidh spots, entertainment spots, which included storytelling from Taffy Thomas. And I was absolutely engrossed. I felt like a little child sitting there with my mouth open and my eyes wide saying, and what happened next? And I thought, oh, I'd love to do this. But how on earth do you start? Where do you find stories? How do you learn them? I couldn't do that. And this must have been about 15 years before I had the chance to go with the Women's Institute to Denman College. There was a storytelling weekend. I didn't know what it involved. I was very apprehensive, thinking, am I going to make a fool of myself? That's always the big problem. Will I know what to do? We had a wonderful tutor who went round, first of all, asking what we hoped to get from the course. We all had different aims. We had very different backgrounds. One young woman was a Sunday school teacher. She wanted to tell stories better for the children. There was a couple of social workers. There was myself, an ex-librarian, a dancer, knowing nothing about storytelling, really. I read, but it's very different. And I came away from that weekend having written a couple of stories of my own, learned a story to tell. And I thought, this is me. This is what I want to do. After that, I found there was a course advertised for Halsey Manor with Sharon Jaxtis, who was about to publish her book of Somerset Folk Tales. And again, I came down very nervous, thinking everybody else would be so much better. But no, there were a lot of us. We had varying amounts of experience. And what I loved was that Sharon took us round the area and told stories pertaining to the locations. And that meant a lot. And after that, I came down the following autumn, I think. That was February with Sharon. Autumn with Taffy Thomas. And I think that was when Peter Chand came, who is an Indian, I think born and bred here. But he told Indian tales, which was an expansion of what I was absorbing. And since then, I've been collecting stories avidly. I'm an official WI speaker, so I go out to groups to tell stories. And I warn them, I've got enough repertoire now to tell them stories every day for 8 hours a day for the next 3 months, but I promise I won't. I was also lucky to find a local storytelling group, which was a teaching group, and we had professional storytellers leading, and they were excellent. And we learnt the techniques of how to learn a story, how you tell it, because you don't learn it word for word, and the chance to practice in a critical environment. It was all positive criticism. It was a case of we would tell a story and everybody in the group would then say one fact of what they liked, what worked well. I liked your characterisation. I liked your change of voice. I liked your gestures. And then not what they didn't like, but perhaps it would be even better if the positive emphasis. We were free to accept or reject any comments made. The usual thing was, oh, that's an idea, I'll try it. You might go home thinking, what a load of rubbish, that's not my style. But very often I have changed a story to fit something that somebody asked for. She said, but that's all very well, but what happened when the real owner of the treasure came back and found it missing? So when I tell the story, I think, no, he was carried off to serve in the army, and what happened to him is a story for another day. So that I learned from a woman who was very new to storytelling.
And tell me about storytelling at Halsey, and what does Halsey bring to the process of learning about stories? Or
it's got so much atmosphere. There is the history. The library has a wonderful storytelling collection. I think it's just the atmosphere. It's relaxing. And although the courses can be quite intensive, we learn a lot in a fairly short time. You can then sit in the library, think about what you've learnt. There's space to work in pairs. Quite often you bounce ideas off each other. You tell a story to your colleague, and then she will go, or he will go, and tell it to somebody else, and you get another story coming in. So it's very relaxing and yet stimulating at the same time. It's quiet. There are no worries. No children, no pets, no meals, no washing up, a good supply of coffee and food, and you couldn't ask for more.
Fiona, I'm going to ask you to tell me a story now with a Halsey slant, if you would.
Certainly. Can I tell you to begin? This started from the very first course I went on at the WI College. I suddenly realised as I was going, I was supposed to have prepared a ghost story to tell during the course. I hadn't done that, I'd forgotten. So I quickly invented something in my head, and I'm not imaginative. After the course was over, when I'd had people saying, "Oh, did that really happen?" And I had to say, "No, that was invented on the A34 going north." I then adapted it and gave it a Halsey connection. So it starts that I was invited to come to Halsey as a dance caller. It was for a group I hadn't met before. I knew nobody there. I called the dance on the Friday evening, and among the people sitting around the room, the long room, was a lady with a stick. She sat all by herself. She didn't seem to speak to anybody. But she enjoyed the dancing and the music enormously. She tapped her foot in time. She clapped at the end of every dance. She had such a happy expression. It was a joy to look at her. I wanted to speak to her at the end of the evening, but somehow she'd slipped away, probably gone to bed early, and I didn't see her. The next day, I was busy through the day. Again, I called the evening dance. And again, there she was, sitting in the corner by the fireplace, all by herself, enjoying every moment. Again, I didn't see her go from the room. And I looked for her on Sunday morning. Couldn't find her. Eventually, we packed up after lunch. We had the traditional Halsey cream tea. And I said to one of the musicians, whom I did know, "Tell me, I saw a lady at the dances. I didn't see her dance. Who was she? She enjoyed herself so much, it seemed a pity she couldn't join in. But I did see her walking stick." And the musician turned to her partner and then turned back to me and said, "Tell me, what was she like?" And I said, "What she looked like." I said, "The only thing that worried me was I mentioned that one of the dances was one that I had written, and it was for the grandchildren born to the daughter of one of our club members. Her daughter had twins, and the dancer was so proud of the twins, and I had called the dance David and Jessica for these twin babies. And as we were dancing it, I noticed my lady with the walking stick had a tear on her cheek." And Susan said, "I know the lady you mean. Her name was Jessie, and she and her husband used to come to Halsey ever such a lot. And they were leaving after one weekend. The weather was bad, and there was a terrible accident. And David, her husband, was killed. And Jessie was badly injured. She came back to Halsey to watch, but it was never the same. And in fact, we haven't seen her here for quite a long time. You were lucky, because Jessie died 10 years ago.
Thank you so much. Fiona, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Can I just ask one final question, and that is, what does Halsey mean to you?
I hesitate to say everything because I have family. I would hate the thoughts of not being able to come. I would be heartbroken if it closed as a folk centre, or for some reason I couldn't come to Somerset at least once a year to stay here.
Thank you.